And I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is going to be with you every step of the way, providing a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome aboard the John Kincaid Show. As Barry Manilow said, looks like we made it. We finally got to the first Sunday of NFL football. And if you're anything like me, I saw the clock around 1. I saw the clock around 2:30. Saw the clock around 3:20. Woke up at 4:05, tossed and turned till I usually get out of bed at 4:30. And I am very, very ready for it. Excited to see what my team does, the Philadelphia Eagles. Excited to see what your team does if they're one of the interesting storylines of the NFL. And there are lots of them, especially in the NFC. And we will get to that in the course of the show today. So many great things going on in the sport. And then you get the Antonio Brown story. And I'm going to make a disclaimer right off the top of the show today. I could talk to you for 4 hours about Antonio Brown. And we could do a show and discuss all the different twists and turns of the Antonio Brown story. Here is what I have made an editorial decision to do. We'll talk about the story, of course, but we're going to talk about it in tidbit. Because I believe there are 32 NFL cities waking up today that are much more interested in what their team's doing, the landscape of the NFL, what's going on with their favorite franchise, their big game today, than they are interested in Antonio Brown and the New England Patriots. That is an editorial decision that I will make. Yes, I'll give you my opinion on the Antonio Brown story. I will tell you why the idea of a concerted effort to, you know, manipulate something, people are trying to make him out to be an evil genius. I would just tell you he is a man in need of some assistance. And I'm not saying he needs a 48-hour hold at a mental facility, but Antonio Brown is a man who needs guidance because he doesn't conduct himself like a gentleman or like a man does. I'm just being honest. He doesn't conduct his business like a man conducts his business. Yet he portrays himself as, I'm going to fight. I'm a man. I'm going to fight. This system's been against me all along. I'm a man and I'm going to do. Men don't conduct themselves like Antonio Brown. Men don't have to take care of their business by making an ass of themselves. Men don't need to conduct themselves with childish antics to get what they want. If a man takes a stand, he stands there and takes a stand. If he wants something, he stands up and he says it. Unfortunately for Antonio Brown, I believe there's something more at work here. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to diagnose him. But if you believe his behaviors are normal, or if you believe his behaviors are easily explainable for a grown man, I'm going to suggest you have very poor role models in your life. He is a man-child, Antonio Brown. And while everybody last December was so quick, it was Ben Roethlisberger's fault. It was Mike Tomlin's fault. Don't blame Antonio Brown. He's a victim here. I remember a fine interview piece that Jeff Darlington did on ESPN, where he sat down with Antonio Brown and went back to Liberty City and saw his upbringing. And Antonio Brown talking about respect and man to man and I just want to be treated like a man. I would just suggest to you that Antonio Brown conducts himself like a child. And when I see a guy behind sitting, on an interview in his proudly stated, like, you know, whatever mansion, 18,000 square foot mansion. And he's complaining about the fact that people didn't treat him like a man. Antonio, in an 18,000 square foot mansion, I'd imagine you have some mirrors. I'd suggest using them. Because you carry yourself like a child. You conduct yourself like a child. And what I find interesting is that, and we'll talk about it later on in the show, every organization in the NFL, you're just not as good as the Patriots. That goes for every organization in the NFL. You're just not as good as the Patriots at doing their business. So don't be mad at the Patriots for taking advantage of a system that worked well for them. But it's clear you can acknowledge that Antonio Brown doesn't understand what it's like to be a grown-up, conduct himself like a man, carry his business like a man. He doesn't understand it. And my thinking is he never will. I don't believe this story ends with Antonio Brown being all of a sudden a very mature, great influence on a team. Hey, he is going to be a fantastic talent if he plays. He will be a fantastic talent, and he will show that he has all the skill in the world. Unfortunately, what he's shown us is that he is a child, a big-time child, and he continues to be. So tell me again, Antonio, how you want to be treated like a man and continue to conduct yourself like a seven-year-old. So we talk about the story a few times during the show today, but I am not going to do that to you. On a Sunday that 30 NFL teams in the next 48 hours, 30 NFL cities begin the dream. And I'm not one of those people who believes that, oh yeah, everybody starts an NFL season. They know they're dreaming of their team winning a Super Bowl. You can dream all you want, but if you're a fan like me, there are many years where I knew point blank that my team wasn't going to compete for a Super Bowl. Like Carson Wentz's first year. I can tell you that I don't know that I was ever as excited for an Eagles season than to see his first season at quarterback for the Eagles. Last year, I was talking to Anthony Piano about the same thing with Sam Darnold and saying to Anthony, you're going to love this year. You're going to love watching a potential franchise quarterback come of age. And yes, there are going to be bad days and there are going to be good days and there's going to be exciting moments and there are going to be glimpses into your future. I never expected that the second year, Wentz would be having a MVP season into mid-December, tear up his knee, and then Nick Foles does the miracle story. But storylines like there are lurking. They're lurking in 30... No, I'm going to be honest. Let's see. They're lurking in 12 to 14 NFL cities today. Because half the NFL, half, if things broke correctly, if another team suffered one critical injury, if things broke their way, they could be that team. They could be the team that steps up, impresses, excites, amazes in the course of this NFL season. I wish every single NFL player, and over the years I've been shocked at the amount of NFL players that I've crossed paths with that have said, hey, I've caught the show on Sunday morning sometimes. Flipping around. Getting up early, driving to a stadium, can't sleep. And they've tuned in. I wish you one thing. If you're an NFL player today, I wish you one thing. If you're a fan of an NFL team, I'm going to wish you one thing today. Good health. Good health. Good health for your star players. Good health for that roster. And for every NFL player that puts their body on the line every single week, good health to you. because the games are so much more interesting when we have you at full strength and in good health. So as we begin 2019, let's keep the injuries to a minimum. Let's keep the excitement at an all-time high. And we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but I believe this is the biggest window of opportunity for teams to win the Super Bowl on opening week that I have ever seen, despite what Bill Belichick and the Patriots have done. Despite that, an amazing, amazing 2019 season awaits us. We had statements yesterday made. Texas A&M goes to Clemson, plays the defending national champions, plays defense, but couldn't play enough offense. And Clemson's defense proves that it reloads and can stand up against almost anybody right off the bat in one of those crossover matchups. I don't know that Clemson is going to be tested like that again. In fact, I would tell you there's nothing on their schedule that tells me they're going to be tested again all year. And for you Syracuse wonks out there, PU, and the fact that people even put the words in their mouth, well, Syracuse is probably the biggest threat to Clemson. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And when Alabama rolls, Georgia rolls against Little Sisters of the Poor, we then see LSU, a team that I got ridiculed for last week for putting them in my first four, go into Texas. And Sam Ellinger was impressive again for Texas, but I believe his statement after the Sugar Bowl last year that, well, Texas is back. Well, you're not yet. You can win an exhibition game and a bowl game, but last night was the one that if you were truly back, you win. And to Coach Ed Orgeron and the LSU Bayou Bengals, I'll say it again. Sometimes I get things wrong. And I said it to you last year, and I'll say it again this year. When Coach Orgeron was hired, I looked at his entire resume as a head coach and some of the annex that went on over the years and thought, this is a horrible hire. And I said flat out, if it's my organization, I'm hiring a CEO. I'm not hiring Coach Orgeron. Well, guess what? Ed Orgeron didn't care what I thought then, and he shouldn't care what I think now, because he has done a spectacular job. I couldn't have been more wrong. He has connected with the student athlete, the fan base, and become an administrator for a team, allowed assistant coaches to do their jobs, and has LSU as a considerable threat to get into that national championship chase picture.